Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
MLS's Heineken Rivalry Week kicks off tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern with the Union, second place in the East, hosting DC United. And it's El Tráfico with the Galaxy taking on LAFC. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, this is interesting. We have weightlifter Steve Tripp. He's going to squat 600 pounds. No hands.
What?
Who here in our studio today can do this?
No hands?
Yep. No, watch. Here go the hands.
Ah!
Yeah.
Who on planet Earth can do this? Besides
Steve
this guy.
Tripp.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. How does, the scapula, like, oh, my gosh. I'd be impressed 605, but how the heck? I mean, it hurts my neck.
I would be in the hospital if I tried something like that. Welcome back to Get Up. We are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 as we flip to our second hour. It is time to get up, and it is bye-bye Baker. Did the Browns make a mistake trading Mayfield to Carolina? Will he actually start for the Panthers? We've got everything you need to know on Baker Mayfield. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is preaching patience. But how much patience should they really have in Green Bay as the Packers try to replace his number one target? And what is going on in Brooklyn? Why hasn't Kevin Durant been traded yet? What about Kyrie Irving? We'll get into all the basketball with you. But we begin with the story of the day from the NFL. The Browns have agreed to trade Baker Mayfield, former number one overall pick, to the Panthers for a 2024 conditional draft pick. Mayfield was the top pick in the 2018 draft. He joins the Panthers team that already has quarterback Sam Darnold, the number three overall pick in that same draft by the Jets. Carolina, ironically enough, will host Cleveland in week one of this season. Baker's former team still favored by 1 point at Caesars. Reminder that Carolina hosted Sam Darnold's former team in week one of last season and beat the Jets in that game. So maybe there's a pattern forming here. We'll also keep an eye on those odds and if they change depending on the current Cleveland quarterback situation, which is another story for another day. Today's story is about Baker Mayfield finally getting moved to Carolina. I feel like, Jeff, we've seen this coming for a little while. What was the biggest reason it finally happened?
We have, Dan. This is actually quite precisely how I expected it to go down, with the exception of the $3.5 million that Baker Mayfield surrendered. Now, he can earn that $3.5 back in incentives, but ultimately this reveals that Baker wanted out of Cleveland bad enough before the start of training camp so that he could get going when it came to a training camp competition, that he was willing to give up $3.5 million. Keep in mind, this is not a player who has already had that big payday, that big contract. So this is a lot of money when it comes to the career earnings of Baker Mayfield. Again, revealing that he knew that this is what it was going to take to get it done and to get it done fast. So instead of waiting on the Cleveland Browns to take action and forcing their hand, he decided to push himself into a better situation.
Sam Acho, Jeff says he wants to get into a training camp competition. Baker does, not Jeff. Baker wants to get into a training camp competition. Training camp starts in 3 weeks. Is that realistically enough time for him to get up to speed?
Absolutely. This is the perfect time for Baker Mayfield to get traded. Yes, he missed OTAs and he missed a little bit of minicamp. I understand that. But the Carolina Panthers have a new offensive coordinator in Ben McAdoo. So everyone is learning a new offense. The fact that Baker Mayfield got in now, 3 weeks before training camp, gives him time to, number one, learn the offense, and number two, get with his receivers to develop a relationship with his teammates.
Mike T, are you as bullish as Sam Acho is on the prospects of Baker Mayfield succeeding in Carolina?
I'm not, and I have experience with this. Ryan Tannehill got hurt in preseason. We brought Jay Cutler out of the Fox broadcasting booth. It just wasn't the same. We had Brett Favre at the Jets, who we had a good season with him, but it doesn't happen overnight. And while Baker Mayfield will know the offense, he'll know the plays, more of the subtle nuances of running an NFL offense just doesn't happen overnight. and they need chemistry, and they need a productive running game for 17 weeks. And while we all love Christian McCaffrey, durability over the last couple of years is a major concern. So if they cannot stay balanced, I think Baker Mayfield is going to struggle in this offense.
You know, I remember that Jay Cutler season in Miami. I'm not sure how many other people do. What do you got, Sacho?
Well, that's the thing. Like, Jay Cutler was in a booth. Baker Mayfield has been playing quarterback the last 4 years. He's at over 3,000 yards each year, even with a torn labrum last year. So he's not been in a booth watching games. He's been playing games. Even since he's been injured, he's been rehabbing, getting better. He's been throwing the football. Now he just gets a chance to use his photographic memory that we just heard that he had and go and learn this offense. And so, no, this is not similar to back in 08 or whatever when Jay Cutler and all these people. No, this is right now with Baker Mayfield, who is ready to learn this new offense, a new system, and new scheme like everyone else on that roster.
Oh, wait, it was like 3 years ago. I know Jeff Darlington remembers it. Jeff, put a bow on this for us. Listen, is Baker going to be the starter there? Has Darnold got a chance to fight him off? What's the deal?
I do remember that. If you want an even more archaic Dolphins reference, we can talk about when Chad Pennington left the Jets and went to the Dolphins in 2008. And it was a success story. They won the AFC East.
That's
so it can go either way. Baker Mayfield will absolutely be in the middle of this competition. And ultimately, it would not surprise me at all if he wins it.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We will obviously keep tabs on this and keep you all posted. But right now, I got to talk some basketball. Let's go to the NBA, where exactly 1 week ago, Kevin Durant requested a trade out of Brooklyn. At the time of that request, it was reported that his preferred destinations were the Phoenix Suns and the Miami Heat. And I think it was probably the expectation of many of us that a trade could come together very quickly. It has not. And therefore, I bring in our basketball crew to ask why. Brian Windhorst, where do things stand right now with Kevin Durant and a potential trade?
Well, Dan, we've got a midsummer cold here because while the Nets really got a lot of interest in the instant after Durant's trade request came in, the offers have not met the standard that they were hoping. They are hoping to get the type of trade package that we talk about in 20 years. They're hoping to get a Herschel Walker type trade package. And those offers haven't come. And those offers haven't come for several reasons. One is that there's not a lot of feel for where Durant prefers to play. And while you'd like to think that his 4-year contract protects teams from that, it doesn't really. And so if Durant prefers Phoenix, the bar that the other teams like the Raptors or the Pelicans or the Heat would have to clear is what Phoenix can offer. That's the bar, not the bar that the Nets want. And that's a negotiating point that's happening right now. Secondly, Durant has 4 years left on his contract. That's perceived to be a real positive. But that's not necessarily how the teams involved in this are seeing. What they're seeing is, yes, we're getting Kevin Durant, but you want a 25 or year younger, years older, younger all-star, and Durant is going to be 37, 38 on this contract and make $50 million, and that is not a guaranteed thumbs up. So Summer League is beginning now in Vegas. It's a big, giant convention. Everybody gets together. We'll see if it changes. Right now, we're frozen.
Right now, frozen, and the Nets can say he's got 4 years left on the contract. We could just keep him. Is that a realistic threat, Nick Friedell?
They could keep him in the training camp, Dan, but I expect Kevin to get moved. The issue that a lot of these teams are having is that if you're the Nets and you're saying, oh, well, we can keep him, we can keep him, then you don't know what you're going to end up getting in return in your best-case offer. The Nets and Sean Marks do not want to move Kevin Durant. But they know in this moment in time that this might be the best way to reset your organization. But if you're these other teams, all these other teams are saying, okay, we see what's out there. We're not going to give you every single thing you want because we're going to gut what would then be a championship contender. If you're Durant in all of this, you're saying, well, don't trade this guy or don't trade that guy because I want to be able to come into a team that has a legitimate chance to win a title instantly, not a team that is completely rebuilt with what I would have to bring in. And I just don't see it being clear cut in the next couple months, but this ultimately to me will get done because Kevin Durant wants it to.
To that point about wanting to join a winner, Zach Lowe, look, this trade request happened right before a holiday weekend, and we haven't been on the air all week yet. I feel like maybe the weekend got a little foggy. Did I hear something about the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors being a possible destination here? Like, is that at all realistic?
You sure did. That came from our own Mark Spears, who reported that the Warriors are interested. And guess what? Of course they're interested. It's Kevin Durant. And to Brian's point about the four-year contract, teams are looking at this as he's 34 years old. He's had a couple of major injuries in his career. The first 2 years, we're confident in getting peak Kevin Durant. We got to be able to win the title in those first 2 years, have a good shot at it. The next two, we'll see how he ages. Well, there's no team better positioned to win the title in the next 2 years than the team that just won the title. I would say, number one, do not rule out the Warriors. Never rule out the Warriors. They are absolutely poking around, looking around, but there are some problems here. Number one, do the Nets like what the Warriors have to offer? Number two, the same arcane rule that prevents Ben Simmons and Bam Adebayo from playing together because of their designated rookie extensions applies to Andrew Wiggins, who has to be in this trade for salary matching purposes. Number three, what does Kevin Durant want? This is a guy who was maybe not ridiculed, but certainly criticized for joining a 73-win team who lost in the finals, for getting on the bus, as Charles Barkley has put it. Is he really going to accede to joining a team that just won the title? How would his future championships, if they win any, be viewed? That said, this is a trade. This isn't a free agency signing. Durant could say, this is a decision that was out of my hands. They just came and got me. Let's go hoop. So we'll see. There are tons of variables here.
Yeah, fascinating, the possibility that he could end up back in Golden State after all that. Wendy, how much leverage does he have in determining his destination?
That's a question, Dan. You know, the Nets could say zero because of his contract, but if you're one of the teams that's thinking about trading for him, his desire to be there is a question mark, because if he demands a trade out of Brooklyn and gets it, what's to prevent him from demanding a trade out of your place in a year if he gets it? So, you know, in terms of the Warriors, I'd like to refer to the Isaiah Thomas meme from The Last Dance, where he says, I met the criteria to be selected to the Dream Team, but he wasn't picked. The Warriors meet the criteria for what the Nets want, but I do not think that they will be selected.
Real quick, final word, Nick.
Two quick notes, Dan. First, that Warriors relationship had run its course. After 3 years, I think both sides, Kevin and the Warriors, were kind of like, so it would surprise me, having covered that team, having covered Kevin in Brooklyn, if there was a rekindling. And as far as Kevin goes, everybody's trying to always figure out what makes him happy. Yeah. It's been an ongoing theme in the league, and nobody has the answer except for him.
Maybe someday he will tweet about it. In the meantime, we will obviously keep a close eye on this. But when we come back, we're going to talk about Kevin Durant's still current teammate, Kyrie Irving. Does anybody want him other than the Lakers? Is a Hollywood reunion with LeBron James inevitable? We'll discuss. Plus, Aaron Rodgers is preaching patience, but how much should he really have in Green Bay? Plus, see why he's going viral and it has nothing to do with football. You won't believe it.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
All All right, we're back on Get Up. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Aaron Rodgers got a tattoo, and he posted it, and I don't know. I mean, anybody got anything on this?
It's on brand.
Yeah.
I just want to hear about Darlington's dot tattoo. Right. That's what I still want to learn about. I want to evaluate that.
In the last hour, Jeff Darlington made a stunning revelation that he had a dot tattoo.
I was one of the tattoos. Yeah. One night I decided to go get one. That's all that happened. Yeah. And I said, just give me a dot. So the guy went, zip, and I go, thank you.
He's slightly less
intricate dot tattoo
than Aaron Rodgers' tattoo, which we have all of our researchers working on, trying to decipher what this means. We'll have the answer for you in 6 to 8 months. Listen, let's talk about the Packers, though. It's the first time since 2013 that Aaron Rodgers enters a season without Devontae Adams, who's been his favorite receiver for a long time and for good reason. Wednesday on the Pat McAfee Show, Rodgers talked about moving forward without Adams. Here is what he had to say.
Let's just everybody take a nice, deep, long breath and trust the training camp time that we have, trust the coaching staff, trust the relationships, trust the guys in the room like Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Sammy Watkins to help these young guys out.
So, I mean, yeah, he sounds good, Jeff. I mean, in fact, he sounds a lot different than he did the last couple off seasons this time of year, right?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to take on a different leadership role this year than perhaps other years in the past. And at least it sets up to be exactly that. There is no drama currently enveloped overshadowing the upcoming training camp. Aaron Rodgers can enter this season basically as a leader of an organization as opposed to this sort of force within himself. He can be a leader, and he's going to need to be without Devontae Adams. At least it sets up well for the Packers in that regard.
Tannenbaum, can the Packers compete in the NFC without Devontae Adams?
No, they're the third best team behind Tampa Bay and the Rams. And we haven't even talked about someone like Robert Tonyan, who's coming off of an ACL injury. So he's maybe not going to be 100% from day one. And while I like Christian Watson, their second round pick, it's not going to happen overnight. When Devontae Adams is there, we can look at their production. It's just been better. He's a great player. He's also created production for others because every team has to double him. So to me, I think this offense is going to be a work in progress. Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great, obviously, but they are the third best team in the NFC this year.
Sacho, do you agree?
I agree with the fact that they're the third best team in the NFC, but I don't agree with the fact that Aaron Rodgers won't defy the odds. In 2020, the Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round. In 2020, that same season, Aaron Rodgers wins MVP. The next year, there's all this drama. Will he come back? Will he leave? What will he do? And he wins another MVP. And so I understand how great Devontae Adams is. I think we all do. But Aaron Rodgers continues to defy the odds when it comes to his play at the quarterback position.
So, Jeff, we hear this point about how he, after the Jordan Love pick, he won back-to-back MVPs. You mentioned that it's a different feeling in Green Bay this year due to the lack of drama. But, I mean, there's a flip side to that, right? Like, that drama might have been helpful.
Well, he did win two consecutive MVPs. But when I do talk to people within the Packers organization, they do sense a camaraderie between Aaron Rodgers and the team that perhaps didn't exist in years past. Now, of course, we saw the individual success of Aaron Rodgers. Perhaps, though, this maybe different aura, this different feeling can equate to better team success. But again, we're just going to have to wait and see on this one.
Again, a little under 3 weeks until the teams start to report to training camp, and we'll see how things come together with that Packers offense without Devontae Adams.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's more football later in the show, but we got to get to baseball because Shohei Ohtani was on the mound for the Angels last night in Miami.
It was dirty. Look out, 10 and pace for Shohei Ohtani, and that splitter, it was real from the beginning. It is unbelievable how much better Shohei Ohtani continues to get. And when you watch that splitter, we'll break it down in a minute, how it looks like a strike turns into a ball. Of course, Ohtani picking up the bat. Two strikes, two outs. Why didn't he just shorten up? Literally, when we see the power from so many hitters, but knowing how to get your RBIs, Ohtani helping himself out because of the simplicity of his swing with two strikes and two outs.
So that put him up 3-1. Ohtani doing it all. He's up 5-1 now in the seventh, continuing his strong
curveball.
The curveball, right?
Breaker. The breaking ball that he showed, by the way, hitting 100 miles an hour as well at the top of the zone. He finished the night with those 10 strikeouts, six of them coming with that nasty splitter. Of course, the first player since 1920 with 10 Ks as a pitcher, two ribbies as a batter, and stolen bases in the same game. The only reason I say 1920 is because they weren't even counting RBIs before that. So he's the only one.
And threw in the stolen bases you mentioned just for good measure. Just to let everybody know he can do that.
Icing on the cake, by the way, from the fastest players in the game.
At least 10 strikeouts and no earned runs now in three straight starts. Unbelievable. You were telling us last hour that this is a player that's actually improving, but we want to get a full breakdown. I see you have a ball instead of a bat this time. I know it's tough to decide when we're talking Ohtani, but give us the breakdown on Ohtani.
You know, it's his deception, okay? And where I've seen him improve so much is the bottom of the strike down to the top. Look, this is a strike. So when you're starting your swing as a batter, by the way, lose the bat, okay?
Yeah.
Literally, bat is flying out
total
of his hand.
Catastrophe.
But, I mean, even Ohtani, the reaction. But look at where this pitch starts. Strike. Starting your swing, yes, this is right here at the bottom of the zone. Oh, no, 14 inches is what we're talking, the difference there, a vertical drop on that splitter. And then I mentioned 101 miles an hour at the top of the zone. This
fair.
Is where I've seen his growth so much, is an understanding how to utilize that zone. So tough for a hitter to go from knees to chest, 100 miles an hour to 89. You saw the depth on both.
And he does his own hitting, drives in his own runs, as we saw in the highlight. This is a guy who, after next season, is going to be 29 years old and eligible for free agency. How do you figure out how to pay this guy?
I mean, you almost want to pay him double what the highest salary is when you think about what Shohei Ohtani is worth. It's actually exciting because, as much as we've talked about, we've never seen anything like this in the history of the game. I mean, Babe Ruth is the only player we can even kind of compare him to as far as a hitter who did used to pitch. But ultimately, it's nothing we've ever seen before. So you're talking 40 plus million a year, something that we have never even seen because of what he can bring. My biggest question is also the length.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned he'll be 29 in his free agent season. Is how many years does he want? How healthy can he stay? How long can he continue to be the pitcher and hitter he is?
You know, a big part of the story here is he and Mike Trout, who, by the way, is another superstar, maybe the best player in the game for a while now, they haven't been able to win with those guys. If you're looking ahead and you're the Angels and he's going to leave as a free agent after next season, are you thinking about what can we get for him?
You know, every fan of the game wants that to be yes.
Yeah.
Can we please trade both of these players and get them on a playoff contending team? This storyline has gotten old. It's gotten old with Mike Trout. It's even older with Shohei Ohtani when you think about what you want to see in October from these guys. But the reality is no. These guys aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
If anything, they want to keep them, especially Mike Trout with the deal that he has. It makes me sad as a fan because you want to see these guys in a bigger city where they get even more attention.
Yeah, but if you're the Angels, you feel like your best bet for turning it around is to keep your best players.
Yeah, I mean, so what are you going to get for Shohei Ohtani ultimately? If you trade him, I mean, what possibly could you get in a return? It doesn't matter a prospect. You'll never see a player like this.
Right, and it's just like we were saying with the contract. How do you decide how to pay a guy that does both things so well? This has been the favorite show so far of Shohei Ohtani's agent. We'll continue to monitor his progress as the years roll along. Coming up, what's the deal with Kyrie Irving? Does anybody beside the Lakers want him? Is a reunion in Hollywood with LeBron inevitable? We'll discuss all of that. Plus, in a season where it doesn't look like the Yankees made any mistakes, they made a big one, and it's going to cost them big time. We will discuss next. But first, we got Sneaky Hembo for Jess. This is a question. Baseball question. Who hit the most home runs in a season for the Yankees since Roger Maris had 61 in 1961? Jess going to think that over and answer it when we come back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base.
How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Back on Get Up, let's play a little fact or fiction with Zach Lowe. Zach, the Pelicans will regret the Zion Williamson contract. Fact or fiction?
Fiction! Come on, you can have injury concerns and all that, but this is New Orleans. This is a tiny market starved for success. What are you going to do, hardball Zion Williamson, who already looks like the greatest paint scorer since Shaq, an all-NBA level player already when he's healthy? Fiction, fiction, fiction.
All right, fine. I'll try again. Rudy Gobert makes the T-Wolves serious title contenders. Fact or fiction?
I'm less adamant on this one, but I'm going to go fiction only because Anthony Edwards has to grow in to the superstar ball handler role. They're going to have to work out some fit issues. And the top of the West with the Clippers, the Nuggets, the Warriors, and some other teams, plus the East, is just so good. I'll go good team, but fiction.
I'm 0 for 2. I'm going to give you an easy one just to make sure I get a win here. Kevin Durant will not be on the Nets roster to start the season. Fact or fiction?
I'm going fact. I get that the Nets have to take a hard stance now and threaten to keep him, and they could. It's not out of bounds, but I just don't see a prolonged war between the franchise and a player of this stature, so I will go fact. He's elsewhere.
All right, we have discussed, obviously, Kevin Durant and what goes into the potential trade for him. He wants out of the Nets. Kyrie Irving, who came to the Nets 3 years ago along with Kevin Durant, now looks likely to be moved as well. But again, this market seems to be a little bit frozen. So, Brian Windhorst, what is the latest on Kyrie and a potential trade for him?
Yeah, there's just not a lot of bidders here. And it's not to imply that Kyrie isn't a highly talented player who can uplift a team. We know that that is the case under certain circumstances, and the chances of him actually maybe being more focused this year are higher because it's the last year of his contract. But with what's gone on the last 2 years and with Kyrie being able to leave after a year if he wants to, there's just not bidders beyond the Lakers. And then there's the issue that he makes $37 million. It is not simple to trade for a player who makes $37 million. There might even be teams out there that if he was making less could assemble a trade. So the Lakers know this. The Lakers are going to lowball the Nets, and obviously that has happened so far, because they know they are bidding against themselves for the most part. Most teams who've been mentioned in the Kyrie sweepstakes have run away from even being attached to it in rumors. The Lakers to firm up their stance more. The one thing that is a potential change agent here, LeBron James wants Kyrie Irving. And it's not because he wants Kyrie Irving because he's the best teammate in his history. He wants Kyrie Irving because the Lakers can get him. He doesn't have a whole lot of choice. And he knows that he's got a contract extension situation coming up. And that's the change agent. If there's no deal by early August when LeBron can extend, will LeBron use that as a leveraging point to force the Lakers? If I were the Nets, I might be hoping so.
Yeah, I would think so. Is he what the Lakers need? What do you think about this situation with LeBron trying? You're laughing, Nick Friedell, but what do you think about LeBron trying to recruit?
Kyrie Irving by himself is a good player, but he's not going to fix all that ails the Lakers. That has a lot of deeper issues there, but it cracks me up. Listen to Brian. What NBA team looked around and saw all the things that happened in Brooklyn for the last 2 years and said, you know what we need to add? We need to add Kyrie. He will really calm everything down and make everything a lot better. That is not going to happen. The issue for the Nets is everybody knows this, and they can't afford, after what they've been through, not only the last few weeks, but the last couple of years, to bring him back into camp and say, okay, we'll make it work now. This is a divorce that will end up happening. The issue for Brooklyn is it really does feel like the Lakers are the only team out there, and they're the only team out there because LeBron has the ego to think he can make it work with Kyrie again.
Zach, do you think this is how this ends with Kyrie on the Lakers?
We'll see. Look, I wouldn't sleep on a Lakers team with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. And Kyrie Irving in the last year of his contract with no vaccine mandate to keep him on the bench. I wouldn't sleep on that team. I like some of their supporting cast additions. The gap between their third best player and their fourth best player is a chasm, and that's going to be a problem against the best teams in the West. But that's a good team. But look, if I'm Sean Marks, something Wendy just said is music to my ears. LeBron James wants Kyrie Irving. Okay, then come get him because I got nothing to lose. What's the worst case scenario for me? I tell Kyrie Irving to stay away from the team until his contract expires? That's cool. Lakers, you know you cannot win the championship as presently constructed with Russell Westbrook as the third member of your big three. You know that. LeBron knows that. Rob Pelinka knows that. Everybody in LA knows that. You need me. I got nothing to lose. Come to me. And the longer it goes, the more likely some surprise team comes in with an offer that is at least palatable as an escape hatch for me. So I think, as Wendy said and Nick said, this could go on for a while.
Wendy, if that's the deal we've heard.
I can't articulate how little LeBron cares about the Lakers' 2029 first-round pick. Oh, he could not care less about it. He's never cared about first-round draft picks. He hasn't cared about first-round draft picks when they're on his team. He wants to win tonight, and Kyrie Irving gives him a chance tonight. And so that's going to be the thing. We are in a moment right now where teams are pushing back against player empowerment. The Nets are pushing back, for sure. We see some pushback in Utah with the way that the Jazz are pushing away Donovan Mitchell. And now the Lakers are staring at this. Are they honestly going to push back on LeBron James if he's sitting there with the pen, ready to sign the extension, making sure the Lakers remain highly relevant in a championship possible contender for the next 2 years? And they're trying to negotiate to say, well, LeBron, the best deal, we can't offer 2029. The best deal is to offer this. I am going to have my popcorn and watch because I know how LeBron feels about these things.
Guys, how bad was the Laker roster construction in the last year or so that Kyrie is the only piece that everybody feels like, well, if they got Kyrie, then maybe, given everything we've seen, if it was just about basketball, sure. But it's never just about basketball with Kyrie. Ask anybody in Cleveland, ask anybody in Boston, ask anybody in Brooklyn. It's always something else. So I can't wait to eat that popcorn with you, Brian, because there are going to be storylines all over the place with that team if it does happen.
That is why he's only on a one-year deal. That is why he's likely on the way out. Obviously, we will keep tabs on this situation for you as it rolls along. Doesn't sound like we're in a big hurry.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back to sneaky Hembo time. Jess, this one's for you. Who hit the most home runs in a season for the Yankees since Roger Maris in 1961?
Oh, just someone I worked with the last few years, works for this company. Alex Rodriguez. Come on, that's a tee up.
That is the correct answer. I think this was a little bit, yeah, Hembo, what, I mean, you were going to get that.
Yeah, actually, it took me a second. It was like one of those that's right in front of you, and I'm like looking back 60s, 70s, trying to think way back when, yeah. Like you worked with them.
I remember that year. I was covering baseball back then, and he was unstoppable. I'm pretty sure it was a contract year.
Best years of your life.
Pretty sure it was a contract year. I'm just saying, for him, not me. We had the Yankees, speaking of the Yankees, visiting the Pirates last night. And they scored a whole bunch of runs. Let's go to the top of the sixth. They're already up 3-0.
Joey Gallo. There's a weakness. It's this part of the lineup. Joey Gallo hitting .160. This has got to feel good for New York fans because this, if there's anything, a part of the lineup has got to get going.
About hit that into the Monongahela River, I think. Is that the river? Anyway, top of the eighth. Yankees up 5-0. Bases loaded. This guy, Aaron Judge.
Grand slam. This one put it away early on. Number 30. For Aaron Judge.
There you got Alex Rodriguez in his sights, not to mention Roger Maris. Ninth inning, Yankees up 10-0. Pirates have put their second baseman on the mound.
Style.
I mean, that's Aaron Hicks getting a gift and another grand slam. Yankees go on to win the game 16-0, their largest shutout victory since 1960, the year before Maris hit those 61 home runs. On Wednesday, Yankees managing general partner Hal Steinbrenner commented on Judge's contract situation. He said this: "We made an offer that I feel was a very good one. It was based on the numbers, of course, but it was also based in part on what he means to this organization. It was a combination of both, and we just didn't get a deal done. There are no regrets, and we're going to be having discussions at some point." This, of course, is all about Judge turning down that $200-plus million contract before the season started.
Oh, I'm now sure there's regrets, by the way.
He's got 30 home runs yes. on July 7th. Yeah. Like, well, how much money did this cost the Yankees not getting this done?
Oh, I think like $100 million at least. Yeah. I mean, it's going to end up somewhere in the threes. You know, I think the biggest question is the length. But Aaron Judge in the season is, yeah, and this is definitely his ceiling. I mean, what he's been able to produce, we could see it for the next few years consistently. I mean, just we look so much at the hitting, but the athlete that Aaron Judge is, the teammate, and honestly, at the end of the day, the face. I mean, if you're thinking about one player, and we've talked a lot about him today, you know, we've talked about Shohei Ohtani, we've talked about Mike Trout, but if you pick one, it's Aaron Judge that represents Major League Baseball. So when teams are looking for not just production, but they're also looking for marketing, they're looking at all around what Aaron Judge can do, this is where he brings more than anyone else.
And that's only going to expand his market, right? If he actually does hit the market, if the Yankees let that happen, I mean, an owner would pay extra for that, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially in a day and age where you're competing with so many other sports, you've got cities that are looking at NBA, NFL, how do we stand apart? How do we get fans? And ultimately, how do we bring more attention to our ball club? Aaron Judge is going to do that. It not only gets butts in the seats, but it also just brings, I mean, his presence amongst a clubhouse. I mean, this is a guy that does so many different things right, but at the end of the day, he's also going to be your face.
So what is the, I mean, it all sounds great. I want him on my team, but is there, if there's any reason to hesitate, that level of commitment, years and money to this guy, what would it be?
The body. I mean, you look at the massivity that is Aaron Judge, and we get excited about it when he's hitting home runs, but we've never had a position player this big in the game of baseball. And he's 30 years old. You think about his length and what he wants. I mean, he wants 7+ years. And you look at some of the contracts, the comparables, and to me, the only concern is, will this body hold up? This has been the only weakness that we've seen with Aaron Judge is the injuries, especially early on. I mean, the last couple of years, it's been a lot better. But as he gets older and as this body ages, I think if he wants length, that's my concern as an owner.
Meantime, he continues to barrel toward free agency, hitting home runs pretty much every night. Biggest player in baseball history. That makes me think we should do some superlatives. We've hit the halfway point of the baseball season, so let's do that. Who has been the most impressive for you in the first half?
Yeah, I'm going the New York Mets. I mean, you think about it, start the season, if you were to tell me Jacob DeGrom was not even to be, and then Max Scherzer on the injured list, of course, back now. This Mets team, you got to think about it. By June 1st, they were 10.5 games ahead of the Braves. You knew the talent was there, but when you didn't have two of your most famous starting pitchers throughout the first part of the season, and to see the numbers that they've had, it has been ultimately so impressive, especially the pitchers that have picked them up.
Scherzer with a brilliant return the other night. Who's your biggest surprise so far?
You know, the Houston Astros. I mean, this is a team, especially Justin Verlander, coming back from Tommy John surgery. I mean, 2-point ERA. I mean, just the dominance that he has showed, and the Astros continuing to produce. Yordan Alvarez, if you're going to have anyone compete for the best hitter right now in baseball, it's going to be Yordan Alvarez with Aaron Judge and the numbers that he's put up. And remember, this is the Astros team without Carlos Correa, without George Springer, without Garrett Cole, some of the big names we've seen in the past.
How about your biggest disappointment so far?
Oh, it's got to be Chicago White Sox. I mean, this this Chicago White Sox team, you talk about the talent, everything that they had coming into this year. And yes, the injuries, but oh my gosh, have they been disappointing when you look at their record. And this is a Central, AL Central, that should have been a runaway. And they're still 2 games back right now.
So, yeah, we'll see if the White Sox can get it together. I did cover baseball, so I know that the season is incredibly long
and
offers you plenty of time to recover. The first round of this year's NHL draft is tonight at Montreal at 7 Eastern. It's going to be on ESPN and ESPN Plus. John Buccigross will host, along with a cast of hockey experts who will provide stats, information, and break down each pick. The host, Montreal Canadiens, have the first overall pick. Coming up on Get Up, bye bye Baker. Did the Browns make a mistake trading away Mayfield? Will he be the starter in Carolina? We'll talk all about that with Dan Orlovsky, going to swing by the show when we come back.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Back to the story of the day from the NFL. The Browns have agreed to trade Baker Mayfield to the Panthers for a 2024 conditional draft pick. Mayfield was the number one pick in the 2018 draft. He now joins a Panthers team that already had quarterback Sam Darnold, who was the number three pick in that very same draft. Our very own Dan Orlovsky tweeted this out yesterday following the trade news. The Panthers are a playoff team with the 2020 Baker Mayfield. In case you don't remember, the 2020 Baker Mayfield led the Browns to an 11-5 record and the franchise's first playoff win since 1994. And yet, just a couple years later, he's out of there. So something went wrong. Dan Orlovsky joins us now to explain his tweet. That's a Ryan Clark thing, but we'll have Dan Orlovsky explain his tweet. What are we going to say? Are we going to see the 2020 version of Baker Mayfield, Dan?
Yeah, I think we do, Dan. I think, first of all, this is the best wide receiver group that Baker Mayfield has ever played with. And last year, we know he wasn't healthy. So that's the key part of this. I go to this defense. This defense in Carolina, I remember talking about a ton last year, is a top 10 unit, one of the better young defensive lines in football. Derrick Brown, Brian Burns, they get J.C. Horn back, who was their star rookie. So this is a really good defensive unit. But the other side of the football is a big part of this equation, Dan. I mentioned those wide receivers, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, don't sleep on Rashard Higgins. They still have Christian McCaffrey. And I understand he has not been healthy the past two seasons, but I like to live in a world of what if he is healthy? He's still one of the best playmakers in all of football, not just tailbacks. This offensive line, 8th ranked offensive line in football. They sign Austin Corbett. Their draft pick last year, Brady Christensen, second year. They draft Ikem Ekwonu out of North Carolina State. The offensive line can't be worse. So I look at all those pieces, and I think of Baker Mayfield, a healthy Baker Mayfield, and sit there and going, wait, you mean to tell me that an improved offensive line, Christian McCaffrey, the best wide receiver group he's ever had, playing for a team with a top 10 defense that was 1-7 in single-score games last year? If Baker Mayfield is anything like he was 2 years ago, the last time he was healthy, the Panthers are going to be a playoff football team. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you say playoff team. I don't think a lot of people see the Panthers as a potential factor this year. So this might come as news to them. What is their ceiling? Like you say playoff team, how good can they be if he plays that well?
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about them eclipsing the Saints or Bucks within their division. I don't think they're better than the Rams or the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think that they're a team that is getting in on that back into the playoffs, and we all know anything can happen there. If they stay healthy and they get that player that 2 years ago was trying to still prove himself, and Ben McAdoo, their offensive coordinator, plays to the style that they want of running to the football, their defense is going to be so good. And this was a team that threw a ton of interceptions last year and didn't take the ball away. I don't want to discount Sam Darnold in this equation, Dan. I think that's a big part of this. I do believe it's going to be a true quarterback competition. And I'll tell everybody, it's going to come down to two things. Number one, who does not make the crucial bonehead mistake? I talked about the interceptions that this team threw last year. Don't make the crucial boneheaded mistake. And then what quarterback between those two players makes that big time play week after week after week? I talked about them 1-7 in one score games. That's usually dependent upon the quarterback. Dude, if one of these guys, Sam Darnold played good for the first six games last year. If he plays that way or Baker plays to what they did 2 years ago, yeah, this is the team that can disrupt some in the NFC.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Those are the ifs. Mike Tannenbaum, do you think that if Baker Mayfield does win this job, that we get to see the best version of him this year? I can't hear Mike.
It's the best thing that happened to us all day.
Nobody can hear Mike. I want to break it down for you. Mike doesn't think so. He doesn't think so. That's what we've heard before in the show. So, Jeff, what was the Baker Mayfield trade?
You got me down?
Oh, wait.
You got me down?
Wait, he wants in.
Oh,
what do you got, Mike?
There he is.
Okay.
Turn his microphone on. Good job, bud.
Yeah, I was going to say, even though it's not Monday, I still don't disagree with Dan, and here's why. The best version of the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield was they threw the ball 501 times and ran it 496 back in 2020. While we all love Christian McCaffrey, he's only played in 10 games over the last 2 years. So the reality of it, I love their receivers. Their defense is improving. But if they can't be balanced, Baker Mayfield is an average quarterback because he lacks size and he lacks speed. So unless Christian McCaffrey can play in 17 games, I just don't see this team having the requisite balance to make Baker Mayfield as effective as possible. And therefore, I don't see them in the playoffs.
I know Orlovsky has a rebuttal here. I just want to get Jeff Darlington in on this real quick, and we'll get back to Dan. Jeff, Carolina had Sam Darnold. They were after Baker Mayfield for a while. It finally happened yesterday. Why?
Well, I feel like Dan's going to have something far more interesting to say, but it is important to point out that Baker Mayfield was willing to give up $3.5 million that he can re-earn in incentives, but to make this deal happen before training camp. He could have forced Cleveland's hand. They were not going to pay him $18.8 million to be on their payroll this coming season. He could have forced them to eventually cut him, but instead he said, I want to be there before training camp. I want to make sure that I have a chance to compete for this job. And by the way, with a near photographic memory, something that was coveted by a lot of coaches around the league coming out of college, Baker Mayfield has a very good chance of going in there, making up ground fast, and winning this job.
All right, Orlovsky, final word. What do you got?
Yeah, a couple of things. Number one, I think the thing that he brings to this offense, different than Sam Darnold, is the big arm to push the ball downfield to those receivers like Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore. And when they are running the football, that one-on-one ball placement when those receivers are winning versus man coverage. I get the point of the run game in Cleveland, but they hired Ben McAdoo. Matt Rhule, the head coach, hired Ben McAdoo to call plays because he wants to run the football a little bit more. I talked about the investment into the offensive line. And Chuba Hubbard, the backup tailback to Christian McCaffrey, is no slouch. This team's going to try to run the football, create one-on-one opportunities, and that is where Baker Mayfield has a leg up versus Sam Darnold.
Something tells me we'll have a lot more time in the coming weeks and months to decide whether Mike or Dan Orlovsky is right about Baker Mayfield in Carolina. But tonight, the NBA 2K23 Summer League is back for another year in Vegas, and we have an opening night doubleheader for you. Our coverage starts with Rockets Magic at 10 Eastern, followed by the Trailblazers and the Pistons. It's on ESPN and the app. When we're done here in a few minutes, First Take is coming up. Could Baker Mayfield make the Panthers a playoff team? Plus, what's the best landing spot for Kevin Durant? They're going to talk about all that and more on First Take at the top of the hour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
MLS's Heineken Rivalry Week kicks off tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern with the Union, second in the East, hosting DC United. Then it's El Tráfico with the Galaxy taking on LAFC. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Breaking news as we sign off here on Get Up. Moments ago in a Russian court, Brittany Griner pleaded guilty to drug possession charges, according to Reuters. Griner was arrested in February at a Moscow airport after she was caught carrying vape canisters allegedly containing cannabis oil. She could face up to 10 years in prison. Much more on ESPN throughout the day. First Take is next.